Many people retire because the work doesn't offer any challenges anymore. And you seek challenges ahead in your life. That makes you go. So it's not only about demands. It's about the positive sides. And if the positive side is no longer there, then you think, hey, maybe I should do this or do something else. And retirement offers the opportunity to do that.
Welcome to the Baby Boomer podcast. First episode in English. Since I came to the Netherlands and speak no Dutch, happily my guest does. If I would ask today's guest only one question with regard to each of the articles he got published during the last 20 years with regard to retirement, I would have to ask more than 400 questions. Some pretty renowned scientists told me there's none who did more and knows more about retirement than him, Professor Ken Hankins. Thank you gave me the opportunity to meet you right here in the place where you've been doing research for the last
30 years.
Netherlands Interdisciplinary Demographic Institute. As indicated, we could talk for days, but we got some 30 minutes, so we have to focus. Our main topic will be the cause and consequences of retirement, which is exactly the title of one ongoing research project, which you're heading at the NEDI. But first, I'm curious to get to know you a bit more. Do you remember the moment when you first discovered retirement as the research topic of your life?
I never decided that it would be the research topic of my life, but it appeared that it developed that way. Actually, as a student, I studied resignation of older unemployed workers. So there was a time in the early 80s that many people were very unemployed for a very long time. And I did a lot of interviews with older unemployed. They said, I will never get back to work. And I was intrigued by the sociological aspects of it, but also by the psychological aspects of resignation. So in the end, you accept that you will never work. There were people age 45 at that time, so I was pretty surprised. And when I finalized my study, I was asked to come to NEDI to do something about the topic of older workers and retirement, which was a topic that was very uncharted territory. So there were no data, there was not much research, so it was a new field, and that's always attractive for a young scholar.
Obviously, yes. And that has obviously been the beginning of a lifetime relationship. You just told me it's 30 years you are already working with the topic. What's so fascinating with retirement?
That's a good thing. I think it's a good question. There are many things fascinating. I think it's sociologically interesting. So it's defined not only by personal aspirations, but also by social context. That's a thing that social demographers and sociologists like. I think it's in the world, it unfolds in the labor market. The labor market is something that's constantly changing. So there might be a huge unemployment rate and people are kicked out, and then suddenly there's a structural labor shortages and people are needed. So it's always in flux. I think that's very interesting. It's tied to institutions. So pension arrangements, retirement benefit levels, all those things matter for people and are all part of this puzzle of the puzzle of whether or not to retire early or late, but also on the consequences of retirement.
So as everywhere in life, so in science as well, you can look at the same thing from different angles. The NEDI does interdisciplinary work, but what is your perspective?
You could say like retirement traditionally was studied in different disciplines. So economists focus mainly on the role of income in retirement decisions and also retirement outcomes. Also health, but those are the two key factors. Sociologists are much more interested in the social context driving these transitions, and the psychologists are much more interested in like intentions, plans that people have, feelings, attitudes. Combining these perspectives in more comprehensive frameworks is a thing that I was also attracted to, always attracted to.
Yeah, very interesting. The more you know, the more difficult it might get. Is there a short definition for retirement?
Well, you could say yes and no. So you could say it's a withdrawal from the labor force. Then there are many definitions, like starting to work less or whatever. That's already a definition for some. Other people say a receive of a pension benefit is the moment that you retire. For other people, it's the moment that you do not any paid work at all. So there are many definitions.
But what is the one you're working with? Is there a short one?
I think for in many studies, the definition is having access to a pension benefit.
Okay.
So that's the one where the post-retirement work starts, and post-retirement work might involve paid work. But it's a different world than when you have no access to pension benefits.
Mm-hmm. Since you're working for the Netherlands Institute of Demographic Science, how much of your research concerning the Netherlands is relevant or applicable for Germany as well?
I think a lot of research is applicable to Germany and other countries, especially the research that's focused on relationships. What are the driving factors of certain decisions? So it may not be the descriptors might be totally the same, but the mechanisms on a higher level in science, they might be pretty the same. And that's also the reason that a lot of these studies are published internationally, also within the US community or for other European scholars.
Okay, that's a good thing to know, that retirement is a thing which goes about frontiers.
It's very important, because, and that's one of the things that even that maybe to add to that, I realized even over the past decade. So you think retirement and working longer is an issue for Europe, but it's an issue for the whole world. So aging, the aging population is a thing that happens everywhere in all countries. Where the fertility rate drops, the aging starts. And we want fertility rates to stop because we do not want excess population growth. So aging in China is unprecedented. Aging in Europe is huge. Aging in the US is huge. There are differences between countries, but the topic of reorganizing the life course, and retirement is, of course, one of the key factors there in that, is a topic that's everywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm. So now we've been talking about the macro perspective, yeah, the world perspective. Coming back to the Netherlands, as a Dutch baby boomer, which counts different years compared to German baby boomers, as I learned, what would be one or two events of your younger adult's life which were meaningful and where you say, well, this is generating and typical for my generation?
Well, what you could see, we did a study among, it's also a kind of funny study about how people envision their future retirement time. And we asked in our big ongoing study about people in relationship with the 60s culture, the counterculture of the 60s, whether they were involved in their youth in that and that. And there's a clear relationship between those who are tied to the 60s mentally and were very involved in the 60s when they were young. They have a much more active perspective on retirement. So you could say, like, the change is retirement as a person of rest. It's still a kind of person, a period of rest, but it's also a period of development, about self-creation, self-development, which is stronger for these baby boom cohorts than it was earlier on.
But I want to ask you personally, what are events in your youth which you spent in the Netherlands, I think, which were stunning and which you are really still thinking of? And if you met people your age, you'll say, well, remember those days?
Ah, on that sense. That's a difficult question. Yeah, I can mention one. That's the World Cup. That's the European Championship, winning from the Germans in the everybody knows, and I still know where I was and who I met. And that was in '88, so I was 28 at that time.
Oh wow! Okay, and now we come to the core topic we want to talk about, because you're running a project saying the causes and consequences of retirement, and you start. The first sentence in the description is baby boomers are redefining retirement, as their needs and ambitions for retirement are quite unlike those of previous generations. This is a wow sentence for me. Could you explain why?
Well, I think retirement was for a long time. The time that I started studying it, early retirement was invented as a kind of social policy for those who were working since the World War II. They in heavy jobs, physical demanding jobs, and there was a high unemployment rate of young people. So there was something like, hey, we can let them go and they want this period of rest. At the same time, life expectancy was much lower, people were more unhealthy, and now you see life expectancy went up, people have a lot of ambitions, they are richer and healthier, so this whole active aging paradigm is now visible in the baby boom generation. Mm-hmm. So you could say people discover that there is life after retirement, they can do many things, and work might be one of them, but they have a much more developmental perspective on this life phase than purely withdrawing from society, which is a kind of stereotypical view about of classic view of retirement.
And one more thing I want to ask, because the next sentence in your project description is, despite this, current research rarely studies baby boomers' plans for retirement and what they actually do after retirement. Do you have any explanation for this?
Well, maybe one explanation is that a lot of research was focused on curbing the trend of ever earlier retirement. So the focus, and that's also the way my own research started, it's about determinants of labor force exit. And the broader policy question behind it is, okay, how can we curb the trend of ever earlier retirement? So that changed. So people are working longer now. There are pension reforms everywhere in Europe. So there is a tendency for people to work longer, and especially also in the US. So that means that raises new questions about what do people do after retirement. And that's also fitting the broader perspective of more active civic involvement of all the people in the society as a whole. So volunteering, being an informal carer for in your own surroundings, those things are all fit all the umbrella of being more involved and more active as an older adult.
And what are your findings about the research questions? What are baby boomers' plans for retirement?
So overall, you could say that many people have pretty active active plans in terms of sports and all kind of things, and also a lot of people materialize those plans. You see in the Netherlands a strong increase in volunteering after retirement. So people seek for ways to replace how we call it the weak ties. So your acquaintances, your colleagues, all kind of all of these contexts. Yeah, you lose after your retirement. You leave your paid work and you seek to ways to replace them. You could say it that way. What's also interesting is that in a study in the Netherlands, we found that those who remain in paid work for at least for maybe for one day a week, they are much less likely to start volunteering. So it's really like, oh, it's either paid work, if you do paid work, or even a bit, you don't need this replacement of colleagues. If you fully stop working, then, and especially those who stop working and are not able to find any paid work, they are increasing, they are the volunteers that are really increasing their involvement in volunteer work.
Mm-hmm. So, sounds like people in general don't have a problem to adjust to this new situation.
I think for many people, they don't have any problem, so they just are happy with it. But there is a small but persisting minority who has. So people who are very much with their identity tied to their former work, they might feel the transition as forced. And have much more difficulty in adjusting to and to a new life phase than those who are, of course, fed up with their work. But overall, it was one of the things that surprised me. Well, that's some years ago. That the first study I looked at adaptation, I was very surprised that many people, I think something like half said, "I'm used to the world without work within a month." Mm-hmm. So then I thought, well, then you should be preparing at some time before, if it's so easy to adjust,
Okay, very interesting. How big is the share of people who have kind of problems, need more time to adjust?
I think it's depending how you measure it. I think it's about between 10% and 25%.
Okay, well, still
quite substantial.
Quite a big, yeah. Quite a big amount.
Yeah,
and I mean, you make a difference between your research concerning baby boomers' plans and what they actually do. Is there a difference between plans beforehand and what's done after retirement?
Yes, there is. So I'm now involved in a study, for instance, about post-retirement work, and they said people have plans. Okay, those plans have a pretty strong relationship with whether you do it. But at the same time, most people who work after retirement did not have plans. So that's those who have plans, that's not a big group, they are pretty likely to do it. But the people who work after retirement, the majority of them did not have any plans pre-retirement, not in the year in the few years before retirement, which is interesting. So a lot of things happen in between. That's basically in the transition phase.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. You know, mentioned several times already, people working after retirement. How big is that group? Because normally you'll think it's end of work,
yeah.
It's full stop.
You have two movements. One is just you force people to work longer. Maybe people like it, others don't like it, but you raise the pension age and you can retire earlier on your own costs. But that's the massive, you could say, the main trend. But apart from that, at least in the Netherlands and also in many countries around us, you see a trend that people after retirement also are involved in paid work. So in the Netherlands, these figures are increasing. It's a small group, but it's gradually increasing. So now in my head, I think it was like 20% of the males are active in paid work, maybe 1 hour a week, but they're active in paid work at age 68. That's after the retirement age. And this percentage is going up every year as a trend.
Now, it's interesting for what reason? Because one of the reasons might be they need to work to get their life financed.
Oh, that's also a very important question. So what you see in the Netherlands, if you look at the people who are wage earners, and so they had a traditional job in a company or an organization, most of them don't need to work longer for the money. So if you look at those group and see what their motivations are, the motivations are primarily positive. So they like to be involved, they like their work, they want to be connected to younger generations. So these type of motivation, and it's only 1 in 10 who said, yeah, I do it primarily for the money. It's a bit different for those who are self-employed, which is a group which is also increasing in the Netherlands. They are not tied to mandatory retirement rules. They often have to save their pensions themselves, which many don't do. So they have much more financial difficulty in old age. And for them, so the whole retirement process is extended. So they might work just till 70. And it's a kind of different group than the big group of wage earners who retire in some kind of arrangement. And after that, be involved in paid work. And the increase in paid work has probably partly to do with the increase in health, but also increase in educational level. So you see that paid work in the Netherlands is more often part of the retirement life. And it's also, but you cannot see that without connecting it to the general trend in the labor market. So it was relatively unusual, but now labor shortages are kind of persistent and structural. So also employers and also organizational climates start to adapt in a way that people say, well, you know, if you still like your work and you're able to do something, so we might be willing to employ you. But it's also still a taboo in many organizations. So this is the topic that I think is mostly changing in the decades to come. Mm-hmm. This is the new thing.
Interesting. Because we in Germany we have quite a big discussion about ageism, Altersdiskriminierung at work, because many employers don't even think of asking for 50 year an older person. They don't even consider this person in the process of hiring new people. Is that a development which you'll see changing?
Yes, we see it changing in the Netherlands as a result of two things. One is the, of course, the labor shortages. Though employers might still have preference for younger staff. And one of the things that we see changing is, and I find that particularly interesting, is what we call the age norms. So you could say, why don't employers recruit older workers? It all has to do with stereotypes. So the idea that older worker is less productive or whatever what. But the studies I did not find much evidence for that, and much stronger evidence for something that we call age norms. So simply, we never do that here. So without any deep thoughts, or so not a thought that you did. No, it's just like we're a young organization. Yeah, we never. And there are many age norms about timing of fertility, but also suppose that you have a director in your organization of 25, then people would say, "Whoa, well, that's very young in an organization where everybody is 45. So you have ideas about timelines and about what's appropriate and what is an appropriate age. And from that perspective, there is also a tendency and there are also economic considerations, like employing someone who's 60 years of old might be not seen as a good investment. But there, these age norms are very important in behaviors of employers. And we did recently a study among Dutch employers where we asked, hey, how would you, one break, age norms are also tied to what they call social sanctions. So if I do something which is strange, you might get commands from other people like, hey, why do you do this? Or this is very strange to do. So we ask people, hey, how would your personnel react if you recruit someone from above 65 for a new position? And then you could see the change in attitudes within organizations, that employer more often say like, oh, everybody is fine with that, instead of people might command to me like, hey, why do you recruit someone of the age of 60 or 65? So you see a very gradual change in the social climate within organizations, and that opens also the floor, of course, opens more opportunities for those to want to keep on working. Having said that, the idea like older unemployed, where my research started, they will always have a difficult position. So for them, the work at age 60 is not one day a week; it's their full time job. And if you're when you're out of the labor market for 2 years, it's always very difficult to get back.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask in two directions, because I know your research is going in two directions. From the perspective of an employee, what are good reasons to go on working after retirement?
Well, the main reason is the positive reason of social context, job involvement. You like simply the task that you do in your job. That's the main driver of why people want to stay involved in paid work.
People as happy retiring or going on working?
Well, that's a good question. I think scientists might not agree on that. My own impression is that it doesn't make a difference. Mm-hmm. So it's about agency in the life course, as we call it. So can you do what you like to do? Some people like to work and like to be involved. So for them, it's not a good thing for their psychological health if their career is blocked and they have to find different activities after retirement. Others say, well, I'm a volunteer at the football canteen and I love that. So being socially engaged is important for people. Being socially connected to people, that's crucial. It's not that the work is the good thing. So some people say that often, but I always have some criticism about that, because I always have the feeling that that's very normative. So you could say, one minister once said to me, maybe funny to say, when I did my first study on effects, I think, on health, where I found positive effects on health of retiring, that he just said, no, I'm a very paternalistic, so working is good for people's health, period. So, so
interesting.
That's also, no, but from a perspective of like, we should not go to a situation where everybody retires at 58.
Let's zoom in on this moment where people take the decision to retire. What are the reasons making people decide to stay or to go?
Well, there are many reasons. Of course, there's first of all financial circumstances. You should be able to afford it. Maybe start with one more important reason. That's mandatory retirement, which still is the case in the Netherlands, and many people reach this age now. So that's definitely a reason for stopping working. If people make this decision themselves, it's financial decisions. It's health. And health plays a factor in many ways. So you could say, like, I'm now in poor health and I want to protect further decline of my health. But also many people have ideas about, I'm still in good health. So I want to preserve my health by
remaining. Make use of it, not for my employer.
Yeah. And there is also a very interesting factor I found in studies is related to health is something what we call subjective life expectancy. So people have ideas about how long they will live, and these ideas also have some kind of clear correlation with their actual mortality. And we once did a study, and it's funny maybe to say for this podcast, this was inspired by my own father, who was then still alive. And I asked, well, why do you retire? Because everybody expects that you will never retire. And he said, well, my father passed away when he was 60. So I feel that I'm after 60, I'm already in a kind of spare time. And I formalized that whole idea in an article. And we found that the subjective life expectancy are influenced by two things: your own health and how old your parents became, or how old are they if they're still alive. So if your both parents became 90, then you, at the age of 60, you think, I have still 30 years to go. Mm-hmm. And then early retirement is much less prevalent in your mind than both parents died at 60 and you're 63. Then you think, okay, yeah, this can happen to me tomorrow. So you have a kind of different balance. I find that very intriguing.
Absolutely. The moment you're mentioning it, I'm thinking about it and not knowing it before, but I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree from my own experience. Absolutely. Yes. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, it's funny. And it clearly has to do with the benefits of your work. It's at least, do you like your work, or it's physically demanding? But these type of psychological things are also important, because many people retire where you say, well, they have a nice job and they have nothing to complain. So then it's a transition to a new life phase. Mm-hmm. So something else. So and then it's also more in my earlier work, I once said, like, the focus is maybe too much on the demanding aspects of work, but the problem is that many people retire because the work doesn't offer any challenges anymore, and you seek challenges ahead in your life that makes you go. So it's not only about demands, it's about the positive sides. And if the positive side is no longer there, then you think, hey, maybe I should do this or do something else. Retirement offers the opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm. What should employers do to be more attractive for people thinking about retirement, but possibly being able to stay in work?
Yeah, I think one of the key things is what you see, at least in the Netherlands at this time, is making the retirement transitions a bit more integrated part of HR policy. And that means that that you start talking with someone of my age or 60 at the end of the 60 really early in advance. So I heard stories about people who say, yeah, so at my farewell party they asked me, hey, can we call you when we have problems, or you might be interested in to do some additional work with us. But then said, like, I'm already a year in the mode of what I'm going to do after retirement, and now you're asking me a year and a month in advance. Mm-hmm. What my plans are. Yeah, well, my plans, I was busy with those plans, but I never incorporated work in it. Mm-hmm. So now you start talking, it's very confusing. So making this, opening this talk much earlier, not too early, but also a year or 1.5 years in advance, might be very important to make this transition for workers easier, but also for employers more beneficial.
Did your employer already ask you? You are 64 and
63. Could... So first of all, I, well,
sorry,
I have
sorry.
To, yeah, I'm 60. No problem.
Little differences are important that age.
Well, here it's important. So I, for me, the we have the I have the mandatory retirement age of 67. So for me, it's also a relevant question how to move on. We have a needy, a very nice arrangement for senior members, which we call fellow or honorary fellow, where people are still can be involved, have all the freedom they like. So it's not your you're not a department head afterwards, but you can be involved in research. And they have their own office here, so it's an attractive thing to and for me absolutely also something to consider.
Sounds to me that you are considering this.
But maybe one other thing to maybe interesting to mention is, I find it a very interesting thing from my research. When I get older, I also realize that for that the work identity is in the end fading. So you might you could say, well, there's a question, when do you retire? Then there's a question, hey, do you remain in paid work for the, but then the phase after that. So in the end, I'm now a professor of aging and the life course. So, but when I'm 82, I won't be the professor of aging and the life course, probably. So I'm just someone else. I'm maybe a grandfather or whatever. And I once did a study where we introduced the concept and which we measured in a new way, which we called work role residuals. People, you retire, you're not working anymore, but you're still connected, talking about your old work, etc. Mm-hmm. And then you and one question was, well, is it a good thing? And then we saw that those who were very much tied to this work role were actually less happy than those who made a new start.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Yeah.
So you can imagine. So making transition easier and more gradual. But with increasing life expectancy and chances that we all get 90 years old, so that in the end there will be a phase that where work is much less central than it was in midlife.
Okay, getting to the final minutes of this podcast, just a final question. If you reduce to the max the knowledge you got from your research, what are the three things you are willing to apply for your retirement?
It's a difficult question, because if you do
that, take your time. You have 3 years.
Well, one is that whatever you do after retirement, and also whether work evolved, in the end, the work role will fade away. That's one thing. So your challenge to create your new identity, which is not so much based on your work. And that might be at the age of 75 or 70 or whatever, but it's not. It's that's a thing that I think that is a lesson. Second, retirement is something which is also a couple experience. So we did a lot of studies on the influence of your spouse on the decision, and also how that has an effect on well-being, etc. So, well, personally, my wife is 9 years younger, so I will have some challenges in terms of coordinating retirement. And maybe another thing is that at least for baby boomers, no one is not replaceable. I say everyone is replaceable. So of course, for professors, a classical idea that I'm the only one who can do it, but that's not the case. So you always have to be modest in your role in an organization as it unfolds post retirement. That's also a thing that I keep in mind. So it's a changing role too.
Famous last words of a still working scientist on retirement, but thinking about retirement. Thank you very much for sharing your knowledge and giving me your time, and I'm really happy that we were able to talk it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.